We are recording again. It is 11:19. We are back in session. We'll do a swift roll call just to make sure everybody has return of board members and staff. Dr. King?
Present.
Dr. Bastillo?
Here.
Mr. Leone?
Here.
Dr. Hike?
Here.
Mr. Barton?
I'm here.
And Mr. Greer? I don't anticipate he's back. Okay, and for board staff, Ms. Cardoza?
Present.
Ms. Crowley?
Here.
Ms. Richardson?
Present.
And I'm Judy Chepis. Dr. King, the meeting's yours.
Thank you. Welcome back, everyone. The next item on our agenda is case number 2258, Ashley Cole, PTA. I need to know, is Ms. Cole on the call? Mindy, did she ever respond to your notifications?
No. There has been no response at all from Ms. Cole throughout the investigation.
Okay.
I do believe that the original complainant is present, Jessica Brandt.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm here.
I'm wondering, and I'll ask Mr. Harris, so the professional's not present. Could we potentially move this to an informal hearing and notice her so that we have an opportunity to hear her side since she's not here?
Dr. King, members of the board, you certainly could, or you could consider maybe offering her a consent agreement for the voluntary surrender, and if not signed, remand to formal hearing, and if at any time she starts to participate, staff can always bring this back to you.
Thank you for that option. Before we continue to move forward, board members, do you have any thoughts? when the professional is not present, I always want to give them the opportunity to share their side of the story. Now, if they choose not to and they don't, then we have a different thing. She's not responded to any of Mindy's notifications. I think, Mindy, you had mentioned you had reached out to her several times.
Right, multiple times in multiple different forums.
Okay.
With whatever we had on, you know, as on record in terms of her email, cell phone, mailing address, none of those were responded to.
And she did renew this year. Is that
she
correct?
Did renew.
She renewed prior to the complaint. Sorry.
Thanks. Thank you.
Dr. King, do we need to do any kind of a case summary before we start moving forward? Or given that we're dealing with a lack of attendance, can we just move forward on this?
Well, we can certainly do a case summary and then decide what we, you know, what we want to do as a board.
Well, the reason I ask is because given her lack of attendance, my inclination is to move for a consent agreement with a voluntary surrender or a formal hearing. But, you know, and if we can do that without doing a case summary, I'm happy to do that. I just wanted to make sure we weren't violating any rule. So
I don't think there's a rule that requires a case summary. We've all got the investigative report and all of the details that Mindy provided for us in our files. I would just say, though, that if anyone on the board would prefer to hear a case summary from Mindy, let's do that. And then we can move forward from there. Mr. Barton, would you like to have Mindy just give us a brief summary?
I was going to say, since I'm the one making the fuss about it, I'll pipe up. I don't think it's necessary. I just wanted to make sure that we were following the formalities. But if nobody thinks it's necessary, then if you would entertain the motion, I would move that we offer consent agreement for voluntary surrender. And if it is not signed, we remand this to a formal hearing.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Ms. Brandt, did you have a question?
I do. Is she allowed to continue to practice until that time?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Until such time that she either surrenders or
we move to a formal hearing and we take action at that point.
If I can speak, I guess that's my concern is if we find that the allegations are correct, then she's allowed to continue to practice until that time.
That is correct, but we do have to, you know, afford her due process. And I think that's what the board's motion contemplates. And Josh, if I may, does your motion incorporate the findings and violations set forth in the investigative report?
Yes, sorry, I should have been more specific. My motion is that we offer a consent agreement, which makes the findings of fact identified in the initial investigation report and offers a voluntary surrender, and if not, moves to a formal hearing.
Thank you.
Thank you. I understand. I just wanted to make sure I was clear.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion or questions? All right. Ms. Chepias, do you want to call a vote?
Yes, one clarification, Mr. Harris, possibly Mr. Barton. So including the findings of fact, also the conclusions of law as well, or just the findings of fact, conclusions of law as well?
That's correct.
Okay.
Both the findings of fact and the conclusions of law.
Okay. The motion before you is to offer Ms. Cole, in case 2258, a consent agreement that includes the findings of fact and conclusions of law specified in the investigative report. The consent agreement will offer the voluntary surrender of her PTA certificate. If the agreement is not signed, the matter will be remanded to formal hearing.
And Judy, I'm assuming it's a given that the date that she signs that her certificate is immediately surrendered and no longer practicing.
On a consent agreement, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then typically, if not signed, how long do we give them until it comes to a formal hearing back to the board?
My understanding is that we typically, and Judy, how many days do we give to sign the consent agreement typically?
Typically about 30 days.
And if not signed, that will immediately schedule it for a formal hearing that will come before you no sooner than 35 days from that date, but as close to the 35th date as your meeting calendar permits.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, let's call the vote.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Vercio?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Brandt, for being on the call. We are moving to agenda item 2306, Randy Hoag, PTA initial review. Mr. Hoag, are you present?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
great.
Yes, I'm present.
Okay, thank you. Mindy, would you mind giving us an overview of the complaint?
Of course. This is complaint, case 2306 was opened in February of this year with a complaint that was filed by Mr. Hoag's employer at the time. Mr. Hoag was alleged to have falsified clinical records and billing documentation for date of service January 29th of 2023. The employer completed an investigation, confronted Mr. Hoag with the findings, and he admitted that he did not treat the patients that he billed for and documented on that date. He also falsified his labor time for that date. Mr. Hoag was noticed in the following potential violations, ARS 3220445, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist assistant, including exceeding the authority to perform tasks selected and delegated by the supervising licensee, regardless of whether the actual injury to the patient occurs, ARS 32-2044-13, charging unreasonable or fraudulent fees or service for services performed or not performed, and ARS 32-2044-14, making misleading, deceptive, untrue, or fraudulent representations in violation of this chapter and the practice of the profession. I was in communication with Mr. Hoag over the months of March and April, and he did send an email on April 26, 2023, confirming that he had falsified the records, was no longer practicing as a PTA, and had no intentions to practice in the future. Subsequent emails confirmed that he would like to voluntarily surrender his certificate, and he further stated to me that he has not practiced as a physical therapist assistant since his termination in February of 2023. This case is for your review.
Thank you. So Mr. Hoag, the investigative report indicates that you confirmed the allegations set up in front of you from the January 23rd, 2022 for services that you did not provide. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do any of the other board members have questions for him? Okay. I'm going to make a motion that we adopt the findings of facts and conclusions of law as outlined in the investigative report. Do we need to vote on that first, Mr. Harris, before we go to the next step?
Mr. Harris, you're muted.
Sorry. I think you can make one motion to,
okay,
to accept the consent agreement.
And then I, part of that motion is then to offer Mr. Hoag a consent agreement requiring a surrender, voluntary surrender of his PTA certificate, effective the date that he signs it.
Just for clarification, I think the consent agreement is already there, so are we moving to adopt the consent agreement?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll second that.
Well, we have to offer it to him.
Yeah.
We have to offer. So we have a draft that outlines exactly what Lindy supported us in, with the investigative report. So the motion is then to offer that to him for signature and agreement to it.
Okay. My understanding is that it had already been offered. Is that's incorrect?
That is incorrect.
Okay. Then I will second your motion to offer it.
Thank
Sorry,
you.
Dr. King.
That's okay.
Appreciate your clarification.
Sure. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All right, Judy, want to call the vote?
Do you intend to include in this motion that if he doesn't sign the agreement, that it would be moved to formal hearing?
Yes.
The motion before you in case 2306, Randy Hoag, PTA, is to adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of laws outlined in the investigative report and offer consent agreement for voluntary surrender of his PTA certificate. If the agreement is not signed, the matter will be remanded to formal hearing. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hoag, for being on the call.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is initial review 2319, Mark Morelli, PTA. Mr. Morelli, are you in the meeting with us? Mr. Morelli? Andy, did he indicate that he would be in the meeting?
He was served the notice. I don't always get information that they're going to attend or not attend.
Okay.
But he did acknowledge that he received the notice of the initial review, that he had received that notice.
All right. And I'm assuming that no one's here to even represent him because I haven't heard anyone come off mute.
I don't believe he was represented by counsel.
All right. So, board, do you want to continue this to hear from him, or do you want to similar to what we've done in the past, offer a consent agreement. Do you feel like you have enough information to at least start a conversation around the consent agreement? And then if you do, is it disciplinary or non?
Well, I remember the case pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm concerned that he's not here.
Me too.
And so truthfully, because he's not here, I don't feel like a non-disciplinary continuing education is enough. I feel that he should be invited to an informal hearing. And even if the end result is the same as would have been happened today, his lack of participation today bothers me.
It says a lot.
It does. All right. So is that a motion then, Karen?
Yes, I'll move that we move this to an informal hearing.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? We don't need any additional investigative information, Mindy, so we have what we need. I think we just need to move it to a hearing and try to renotice him to come before the board. At that point, we'll take action.
And you've reviewed the potential violations that I cited. Those would be 32-20-44-5, engaging in the performance of substandard care, 32-20-44-20, failing to maintain adequate records, and as it relates to R-424-304, were there any additional potential violations that you would want cited in the informal hearing?
Everything that was listed in the investigative report.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so we have a motion and a second to move case 2319, Mark Morelli, TA, to an informal hearing.
It has been moved and seconded to invite Mark Morelli to an informal hearing. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Vistio?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Haidt?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you. We are at agenda item 9G, case 2325, Octavia Richardson, PTA. Is Ms. Richardson, Octavia Richardson, on the call?
I believe that her legal counsel was attempting to participate.
Okay, so I got there's a message MK from MK that Octavia is not on the call.
She's been, it's in my briefing. She's been remanded to serve jail time for 2 months.
Okay, so then counsel is here to represent her.
I believe MK is referring to the legal assistant of her legal counsel, Mr. Ramos. But I do not know if Mr. Ramos is present.
He'll be on shortly, is what the message says.
Okay. Board members, if you're okay, we'll move to the next item. We can come back. Okay. So let's move then to initial review 2350, Stephanie Dale, PTA. Hi, Ms. Dale. I see you on the call.
Yes.
Great. Thanks for being here. I don't know if you've been on the whole time, but the process is that our board investigator, Mindy Richardson, will give us a summary, and then you'll have a chance to speak to the board and then answer questions from the board, and then we'll go from there. Okay, great. Mindy, do you want to give us a summary?
Of course. Case 2350 is related to Ms. Dale being arrested for disorderly conduct under 13-2904A1 and assault 13, which is related to 13-1203A3. This occurred on September 9th of 2022. On October 27th of 2022, she pled guilty to the disorderly conduct charge, and at that time, she was required to enter into the diversion program. She did not report the charge within the 10-day regulatory requirement. She subsequently completed 26 sessions of domestic violence counseling as of April 19th of this year. She also provided a written statement and supporting documents for the board's consideration. She has completed all court-ordered requirements and does not have another court date scheduled. She stated to me that she can apply for the charges to be set aside in 1 year's time. The potential violations cited in the investigative report include ARS 32-2044-7 and ARS 32-3208. This matter is for your review.
Thank you. Ms. Dale, would you like to make a statement?
I'm sorry, this is just really nerve-wracking.
Sorry. Just tell us where you're at right now. Like, give us a summary of what happened and what you've done since this incident.
Yeah, so the incident happened on, you know, a night that my boyfriend and I were out, and we had been drinking, and I had just lost my grandfather, and I was just in a really bad headspace, and I shouldn't have been in the state that I was in. But I've immediately took action. I contacted a lawyer, and I asked my lawyer if I needed to report to you guys, but she said no, since I wasn't technically charged. I understand that I should have just done it anyway and covered my own butt as far as that goes. But I trusted my legal counsel at the time. But you know, I completed all my classes with Dan Blue, who was my counselor at the time. And I've done everything I can to, you know, get this taken off. I've never been in trouble ever. And so it's just been a difficult time, but both my boyfriend and I have done so much work. Just, we've never had an issue like this before, but we've both just taken, you know, all of the advice that Dan has given us, just doing like our weekly check-ins. You know, I make sure that I'm not, if we ever go out, I do not, this has completely changed my relationship with alcohol in general. Like it's not for me as far as, you know, that goes, because it was a traumatic experience for us both. And it was tough, and it's definitely kind of opened both of our eyes to a lot of different things, and we've grown from it and we've learned from it. And, you know, like I said, I've never had any issues like this before. And I know that drinking and, you know, my grandpa's death wasn't an excuse, but I definitely think this did contribute to it. And like Mindy said, with all of the documents, like, it's in no way, shape, or form indicative of who I am as a person.
Thank you. Thank you. Board members, do you have any questions for Ms. Dale?
I just want to get clarification from something she stated. So you said that you were not charged after all?
No, that's what my lawyer told me whenever she asked me, because I took the diversion program. So all I had to do was complete the classes, which I already did, and they weren't even supposed to be due until next year in April. But so once my diversion program was completed, and I think the year, like on September 9th, I can file for a set aside form to get it, you know, taken off.
Okay. Thank you.
This is, sorry, Giovanni. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was done.
Okay. Ma'am, I want to ask you a couple of questions about the charges. So it sounds like you pled guilty to a disorderly conduct charge. Am I correct in assuming that was a misdemeanor?
Yes.
And, was that in any way related to your work in physical therapy?
No.
Okay. And have you ever had any problems or issues with physical therapy regarding, you know, assault or injuring clients?
No.
Or poor care of clients?
No, no, not at all.
And did you plead guilty to any other charge, any other felony charge?
No, I've never had any other issues.
Okay. Thank you. That is all I have.
I don't have any questions. I would like to just make a motion to offer an advisory letter reminding Ms. Dale of the reporting requirements should she ever be faced with this again, to make sure she checks her practice act and not rely on anyone else. And that is it.
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
So my only concern, members of the board, is I'm not even sure if this is reportable because it was a misdemeanor and it wasn't. I guess the only question is whether we think it could have related to her care, right? Because if it's a misdemeanor, it has to be related, has to affect her ability to provide care. So given that, my inclination is just dismiss. But I'm open to a discussion on that front.
So if I could clarify, the only reason I bring this forward is that it is on the list of reportable misdemeanors. So if I have a reference when I get the arresting document or the charging document, if the citation that they provide, so in this case it was 1329.04A1 and 1312.03A3, if either of those was on that list, then I bring it forward. So I don't put myself in a position of judging whether or not to bring it forward. I just bring it forward to you. But just so you know, I will only bring them if it's on that list of misdemeanors. And if there's a gray area, I contact Mr. Harris for advice and Ms. Chepius.
Okay. So then So it's the 2608, it's the A3 charge that would have set this up. Is that correct?
I believe so. I'd have to get, I know she pled guilty to the disorderly conduct. I believe it was the assault. May have been both. Let me just double check. 2904 disorderly conduct is also on the reportable misdemeanor list.
Yeah, they both are.
Okay. And that list, I assume, is available to the public somewhere. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's on the board website.
And then with that, I would withdraw my objection. I think that an advisory letter would probably be appropriate.
Thank you.
The only concern I have is that we've had this situation arise in previous meetings. I know Mr. Greer had brought up that because it's a misdemeanor involving conduct that may affect patient safety, that this doesn't necessarily affect patient safety since it wasn't in the workplace, but I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I don't think that it has anything to do with workplace. I think it has more to do with behavior and risk of that behavior in the workplace. The statute doesn't say anything about, it talks about that may affect patient safety. And so I think it's looking for trends and things like that.
Giovanni, I think that's my concern as well. I'll be honest with you. I really struggle to see how something like this may affect patient safety. But, to be honest, I think it's something that, you know, we may want to, I actually don't know if we set that list though or the legislature does. I think we do. Is that correct, Mindy?
I believe it's legislature, but Mark.
Mr. Harris, you're muted.
Thank you. Dr. King, members of the board. That statute applies to all health professionals. And every health board has that same list of misdemeanors involving moral turpitude and felonies that need to be reported. And my understanding of the discussion is, she was required under the statute to report. That's what you're issuing the advisory letter on. It's not the nexus, because that statute then gives you the ability to determine whether or not it does involve patient safety. And if it does, then you would open up a complaint and investigate that conduct. I don't believe that's what you're doing here. You're not moving it forward. You're just letting her know that there's statutes outside our organic set of statutes that also apply to her as a healthcare professional, and that she needs to be made aware of that.
Correct. Yeah. So the motion is just to remind her of the reporting requirements, which she did not report.
Thank you.
Right. And I think if, So that my understanding is correct then that that list is from the legislature. It's not our list that we've come up with.
Correct.
Is that correct, yeah. Mr. Harris?
Let me just clarify. I believe the list was provided by the Attorney General's office in response to the health boards asking that one be created. And this was done, you know, many, many years ago. I'm not sure how old the statute is, but it's, boy, it's been there for, I'd say more than a dozen years. And periodically that list gets reviewed and updated. To provide the licensees, you know, across the health profession industry, what is considered a reportable charge.
Okay, that makes sense to me and answers my question. Thank you, Mr. Sure. Mayor. So, Dr. King, I believe we were waiting on a second. I would second your motion for an advisory letter.
Oh, thank you.
If it hasn't already been done.
Thank you. So we have a motion and a second to offer an advisory letter, just reminding Ms. Dale of the reporting requirements in our state statutes.
It's been moved and seconded to issue an advisory letter to remind Ms. Dale to review the laws and rules governing her work as a physical therapist assistant, including her responsibility to report within the required timeframes.
Yeah.
Dr. King?
Oh, yes.
Mr. Harris, did you have something to say?
I was just going to point out if it hasn't, I think it has, but Ms. Dale, it's a non-disciplinary action.
Yeah. It's just a letter.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastille?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Dale. Oh, the board will be in and you'll get a letter in the mail from the board staff.
Okay. Thank you.
Hang in there. Okay, let's go back then in time to complaint number 2325, Octavia Richardson. I think I saw her counsel had joined the call. Mr. Ramos, are you on the call?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for waiting. I appreciate your patience.
Mm-hmm. We have Ms. Richardson's representative and the board investigator. So, Mindy, you want to give us a summary of the case, please?
Mindy, you're on mute.
Thanks, Judy. Mm-hmm. Octavia Richardson was arrested for two counts of aggravated DUI and wrong-way driving on October 10th of 2021. At the time of her arrest, her blood alcohol level was 0.135. On or about May 4th of 2022, Ms. Richardson appeared in court in response to a summons. She did not report the charges within the 10-day regulatory requirement to this board. On April 4th of 2023, she pled guilty and was convicted of endangerment, which is a Class 6 felony, and DUI, a Class 1 misdemeanor. Her sentencing was scheduled on June 12th, a couple weeks ago, and it appeared from the court docket that she was immediately remanded to serve jail time. I did hear from her attorney, Mr. Ramos, yesterday that she was immediately on sentencing. She was immediately ordered to serve 2 months of jail time, although I don't know what additional parameters are there will be for her sentencing. And just some background, she did renew her PTA certificate for the 2022-2024 period and stated on her renewal application that she had been charged with aggravated DUI. But she had been charged for that, so she had a duty to report to us within 10 days. They were provided, Ms. Richardson and her attorney, Mr. Ramos, were provided an opportunity to receive the investigative report, but they did not request a copy. The potential violations cited in the investigative report include ARS 32-2044-7, ARS 32-3208, and ARS 32-2044-18. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Mr. Ramos, do you have a statement on behalf of your of a licensee or the certificate holder?
I do. I would first begin with, I know Ms. Richardson would much prefer to be present to address this board. It's something she's taken extremely seriously. So if the board has an option, I'd prefer that the board table this matter and reset it to a date when she's done with her jail time. I can proceed forward, though, with some additional information, but that's my first request. As Ms. Richardson indicated, yes, she was taken into custody as part of her plea agreement. She pled to a modified offense, two offenses modified from the aggravated DUI. That's what the, what we call in the arena an endangerment DUI combination. It's reduced down to a class six from the aggravated DUI as an endangerment and then to a misdemeanor DUI. And that's kind of a standard plea resolution when we do have these things reduced down. The state required per the plea agreement that she serve 60 days in jail. And this court has a policy that at the time of sentencing, the person must go into custody at that time. And that's what happened. That occurred on June 12th, if I recall correctly. So she went into jail at that time. She would be done, obviously, 2 months from that date. This was hard for me, and it was hard for Ms. Richardson, and I tried making a point to the state numerous times that, and I'm not sure how this board would have treated a misdemeanor DUI in comparison to the aggravated DUI that she was charged with, but this was under a fairly new provision for wrong-way drivers that makes a DUI an aggravated offense. If you're driving the wrong way on the roadway, but hers was a bit different than what we typically see. She had initially done that. She realized, she corrected, was trying to do the right thing, was stopped. I guess it was reported, and she was stopped after the fact, after she had corrected. And for us, that was a big thing presented to the state. Very relevant in our opinion, but the state again has very tough policies. The best thing for her overall, though, was to enter the agreement. As she did, she took responsibility. This was an extreme lapse in judgment. She is paid a very tough, horrible price for her lapse in judgment. We don't believe, from what I'm aware, I don't believe there's any problems or issues with regard to patient safety as a result of these actions, or would be indicative of any future issues relating to patient safety. And I'm not aware of any previously. She is going to be on probation for a period of time through the county as she is after she is released. So she'll be monitored. She'll be receiving a treatment, court-ordered treatment through county. And we'll have to pay significant fines and fees. But the one thing that's always been of concern to her was her license, her ability to earn a living and to pursue her preferred profession. With regard to the reporting issue, I wasn't on at that time. She advised that she did have counsel, and I thought this might be better for her to explain, but she advised that she did have counsel at that time that did not report for whatever reason. I think she anticipated that that previous counsel would do that, and that didn't happen. So that was not oversight on her part, from what I've been advised. That's what I have at this point.
Thank you.
So,
yes, Josh.
So my inclination, given her inability to attend to Jenny and her counsel's request, is that we continue to address it in 2 months after she has been released. I don't know what the other members of the board feel about it. I mean, I think I've got a good idea of what my inclination is, but, you know, I always prefer to do this in person, and I don't think we're going to risk any kind of injury if we continue for a couple of months. So that would be my inclination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. I always like to have them here to be able to speak to us and answer questions. My only concern is that just over the period since October 2021, our board investigator has on multiple occasions tried to get updates from Ms. Richardson and or her counsel at the time, and which is why the potential add of interfering with investigative report, you know, investigation has been added, because we've not been kept up to date. And I just am concerned that I just want to make sure that when we continue this, that we actually do see her in a very timely manner when she's released.
Also, too, if I would suggest if there's any information the board needs from me relating to these circumstances, we can, if there's anything further, I don't know if the board needs anything further, but I'm willing to provide whatever is necessary.
Thank you.
And Mr. Ramos, are you continuing your representation of her throughout her serving of the sentence?
Yes, I'm going to do that unless she changes her mind for some reason. But yes, at this point, I'm still on this.
Okay, so we can anticipate contact with you, and I'm reaching out to her through you.
Yes.
Okay.
So perhaps, I don't know if there's a second yet, but I have a question maybe for Mr. Harris. Is it possible to continue this case with a request that it's on a specific board meeting's date agenda?
Sure, and given what I've heard, we're probably looking at the September meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That would, it seems to me that might be the first meeting after her release.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll also defer to Mr. Ramos on that as well.
Yes, I would agree with that. She should be released, I think around mid-August. So that would work.
Perfect. Then, Mr. Barton, are you comfortable amending your motion to add that she's placed on the September 2023 board agenda?
That would be perfect.
Great. Then I second that. Any discussion? Dr. Bustillo, Giovanni?
No, I'm in agreement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mr. Harris.
I was just going to ask, I know we're in the middle of a vote, and maybe we can vote and then come back to me.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, I'm not sure, but I would think that the board may want to receive any type of documentation that she might receive once released, so that they would have that information at the time that they meet with her in September. So if there's any additional documentation upon her release from jail regarding the rest of probation or things of that nature.
If I can step yes. in, mm-hmm. they would provide her, and we can obtain terms and conditions of probation, if that would be appropriate.
Yeah, I think the board may be interested in that. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. King.
Yes, of course. Okay. So I think, Mr. Barton, the motion is to continue this, place this case on the September board meeting agenda, and that the board staff receive any additional legal documentation regarding terms and conditions of probation prior to our meeting.
That sounds correct.
I second. Okay, Judy, when you're ready, then call the vote.
It's been moved and seconded to continue this matter until Ms. Richardson can attend and place the matter on the September board meeting agenda, and that any additional documentation, probationary or otherwise, received upon her release is presented to the board. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
This motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Ramos, for being on the call with us.
Thank you again for your patience.
You bet. Okay, it's on my agenda. All right, so then I think that concludes the initial reviews. And we are now at agenda item I-2318, review, consideration, and possible action. So, Mindy, do you need, to, I mean, Judy, do you need to stop recording and start again?
No, I think we're okay right now.
Okay. Review, consideration, and possible action regarding compliance with the consent agreement. Jonathan Ryan Dugan. Is Dr. Dugan on the call?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Thanks for being here. Mindy, you want to give us a brief summary?
This one's mine.
Oh, okay. Judy.
So on March 28th, 2023, the board voted to offer Mr. Dugan a consent agreement in order for probation for case 2318. The terms of Mr. Dugan's consent agreement require pre-approval of the ordered continuing education and proof of notification to employers, patients, and payers regarding his administratively suspended license between September 1st and September 23rd of 2022. Regarding his continuing education, on May 16th, 2023, Mr. Dugan submitted a completion certificate for his board-ordered ethics continuing education. Upon review of his file, it was discovered that Mr. Dugan did not submit the course he completed for pre-approval. At its May 23rd, 2023 meeting, the board instructed staff to present such matters to the board for the board's review at a regularly scheduled board meeting. On May 30th, Mr. Dugan was informed via email that since his continuing education was not pre-approved, the matter would be presented to the board for review. Mr. Dugan was also provided the option of seeking a different course to comply with his consent agreement. He requested the board review his already completed course, and although the course is now expired and course details are unavailable, staff did review them and believe that the course would have been reapproved had it been submitted in a timely fashion. Regarding his notice to his employers, patients, and payers, Mr. Dugan has provided the board with copies of letters that he sent to his former employer in an attempt to comply with the terms of his consent agreement. At this time, Mr. Dugan has not received any further responses from his former employer. So these matters are before the board to review whether Mr. Dugan's completed course should be ratified and what, if any, additional measures the board would like him to take regarding notification to patients and payers.
Thanks, Judy. Dr. Dugan, do you have tell us what happened? Why was there a reason you didn't submit the course for pre-approval as outlined in your consent agreement?
Oh, I read it and then I wasn't aware. It's just something you put in the banks of your mind. Like, okay, I got to do that course. I got to submit the fee. I have to notify the employers. And, like I told Judy on the email, it was a blow to me when she emailed me that. I was like, oh, of course that I missed, like stipulation of the agreement and whatever. And, yeah, that's, my full apologies. It's a lot. You know, this is what, ADHD looks like, after the examinations parts. It's a lot. I missed, the last hearing in regards to this because I tried to juggle, you know, training at a new job since I've been back in the States, with this board hearing and whatever. And, these are the kinds of things that, really cinched me up, which is what the initial, issue was the, non-renewal of the license. That's on me. I just, want to request, may I please use that, course as part of the, agreement. It is a lot of extracurriculars on top of my job and all these other things. That's what I'm requesting.
Thank you. Board members, after reviewing Mindy's report, do you have any questions or need clarification on anything? I'd like to just first address really quickly the notifying patients that, you know, and reading the letters from the, you know, the entity's legal department. I understand that. I think you notified them. For me, and you know, we can discuss as a board, it appears that you've done all that you can outside of inappropriately reaching out to those patients who are no longer yours to contact them. So I'm comfortable with that sufficing for notifying your employer and patients that you practice for a period of time without your license. But other board members, what are your thoughts?
I'm also comfortable.
Yeah, I agree.
The efforts.
Go ahead.
I think it was a really good faith effort on his part. And there's just, they're not, the legal department made it clear they are not going to be reaching out to the patients. So I think he's done all he can do. As far as not submitting, I mean, I understand there's a lot in a consent agreement and it's a whole lot of stress around being, having to be in front of the board, not following the requirements and the steps and the process is why we saw you in front of the board in the first place. And now we're seeing you again, for again, not following the process, as outlined, and it's required. So, I think your ethics course was good, but I'm inclined to ask you to take another one. But I leave that to the board. You know, we can discuss as a board. But I think there's a point to the process of following instructions. And again, that's why we saw you in the first place. You missed those pieces. And so that's just my thought. But again, let's discuss as a board. Giovanni, what do you think?
And when you put it that way, I think it makes a lot of sense, to be honest with you. You know, that's simple instructions that are not being followed. You know, to see them for the second time on here, I would be in agreement with that.
Yeah, Dr. King, you make a compelling point. To be honest, I'm a little more torn than Mr. Leone. There's a part of me that says that agrees with you that just kind of shakes my head and says, look, we use relatively simple instructions. We asked that you comply with them. You didn't. I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure what, if anything, we ought to do other than kind of deliver the scolding we're essentially reviewing or delivering right now. And an encouragement to do in the future. So I guess that was and to be honest, I'm really torn. I mean, I see the argument that look, like, you know, this is why you were here. You know, maybe we take this as evidence that maybe the lessons haven't been taken as well as we hoped. But that's, that's kind of what I'm up in the air about is, you know, we've made our displeasure pretty clear. The question is, do we need to do more? I'm not 100% sure we need to.
Dr. Bustillo, do you have a thought?
I see both sides of the coin here. Would another course be worthwhile? Absolutely. I think the more that we can improve our own ability to reflect on the things that we do. I don't think that that's like the worst thing in the world. I really don't, especially like along that ethics line. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that makes us a professional is to be able to reflect and make better choices. Mm-hmm. And so we're asking him to make a lot of better choices. You know, especially when it comes time to renew his license again. And so, I think, you know, they're given a very stepwise manner to comply. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's like hard to understand. So I'm not opposed to redoing an ethics class that is pre-approved.
Okay. Dr. Hike? Oh, you might be muted. It doesn't look like you're muted, but I can't hear you. Okay. He's going to join us again. Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. I tend to agree with Josh in terms of considering this. I'm sort of on the fence. I'm leaning towards no because I'm not sure that another course would help in terms of, he described ADHD behaviors, and I'm not sure that that would benefit him. So I'm kind of on the fence, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. King, members of the board, keep in mind, what we would need to do is to open up a complaint and either, you know, offer another consent agreement or, you know, move this forward some way. But if you decide to open up a complaint based upon what I'm hearing, you also have the ability just to, you know, open up a complaint and at the same time just, you know, dismiss it with an advisory letter, expressing your concerns about the fact that he didn't, you know, timely and properly follow the terms of the express terms of the order. So that's an option as well.
Okay. And so we would need to offer, okay, so our options would be potentially open a complaint, offer a consent agreement to take the CEU again, or and dismiss with the complaint we just opened with an advisory letter.
Well, if you want to do take any action based upon his failure to comply with the express terms of the consent agreement, you would need to open up a complaint.
Okay.
If you do that, then you have all of your options available to you. What I'm suggesting is that if you're going to dispose of it with an advisory letter, you know, that, you know, you've heard his kind of answer to the complaint. Yeah, I think you could probably do it all at this meeting.
Yeah.
But if you were going to offer, you know, either a non-disciplinary consent agreement for CE or want to memorialize it as a disciplinary action, then we would probably, you know, that would take more future meetings to do that.
Of course. Here's where, I remember talking and hearing from Mr. Dugan in the first case when we first offered the consent agreement. It was a similar story. He was very busy trying to do a lot of things, and missed, and just didn't missed the deadlines, right? So, was here or there or really, really busy and didn't get it done. And now he's got a consent agreement and he's really busy and he's got to work and he's got this and he's got that and he didn't follow the instructions again. So, I'm just not sure, you know, if it's just an advisory letter to say, hey, slap on your hand, make sure you follow the rules next time, or it doesn't count this time because you didn't follow the rules. We need you to go back to the beginning, submit something to be approved, and then take the course as you should have in the first place. So that's where my thought is, but what are you thinking?
May I ask my thought? I think the nature of the issue at hand is, like what's been alluded to, those members who tended to kind of agree on my side of the case or be on the opposite side is, you all know that, like, I wouldn't be licensed if I couldn't follow sequential instructions and stuff like that. It's, it is an issue of like being exhausted from the line of work and having the life that I live and all this other stuff. And I made a mistake because of how I was, you know, at the time of, but it's not out of like, you know, disrespect in accordance of the rules and stuff. It is from like having more on my plate than I could chew at the time. So I think that like, I've sent emails to, Ms. Chappa. She's been very like, you know, alleviating some of my anxiety with our email correspondence. And some of them are like, what exactly do I do? Or I misunderstood this. Like I didn't even know how to send a sealed, letter to the post officer or something before this whole incident to send to the board. And it is a lot of like, it's a lot. That's my plea is that more will not help me after I've learned like the nature of the initial, you know, error that I made and rectifying that, like, a lesson in kind of like going through these sequential things. Like I know how to do like instructions and stuff, but I don't think more will be beneficial for teaching any kind of like a lesson or kind of this process. That's all.
Excellent. Thank you. Board members, what direction would you like to go in?
I think I still am of the mindset of what we were talking about with opening a complaint and asking for him to redo the CEUs.
Okay.
Yeah, I would be too, Giovanni. Because I do think at some point lifestyle is such that you can't complete the things that you need to complete, you really do need to take stock in that. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes more makes you have to take a step back.
My lifestyle is that I'm like, I don't have like too much free time at all. My main thing is pleasure reading. I haven't had any time because of the home health that I got back into, and it's extremely stressful. And I've been contemplating leaving the field for the first time in my 7-year career within the past month. My lifestyle is that I'm 9 years sober from drinking drugs, and I'm very active in my sobriety and the service that I do within that. My lifestyle isn't something that like is like I'm blowing this off. I'm trying to find the balance of like doing all of this, but like it is that with all that said, with all the work that I do on myself outside of my profession, it is stressful to be a healthcare worker. It's extremely stressful to be meeting the quotas and the demands of like work within our field and our industry. And mm-hmm. I may be like substandard compared to like what the field is of, you know, standards of care and like what we expect for you to meet patient quota for a company and whatever. But I know that I'm a good clinician because I look my patients in the eye and they always ask me, when are you going to see me again? And all this other stuff. And I pray every day that I won't take my notes home. And every day a patient needs me and I have to take my notes home because that's my care. Like it's not the issue is like, I know how to tie my shoes in the morning. I know how to follow the trajectory of what the board outlined in the document, which I have two copies of physical and I have the email of. It's not that. It's just I made a mistake, and it's not from like skimming through or whatever. I have a forgetful mind, a busy mind, and it's just it is a lot. It is a lot.
Yeah, so I think, you know, for, at least from my perspective on a board member, and, you know, my perspective may be different than my fellow board members, but I mean, there's not, at least as far as I'm aware, an allegation of, I mean, at this point, there's not an allegation that your practice suffers. There's an allegation that you didn't kind of follow the rule, right? And there's a concern that that may affect your practice. You know, my inclination, again, I share the concerns with my fellow board members that, you know, when we set these plans, we have an expectation that there's going to be an ability to follow them. And whether it's because you're too busy or whether it's because, something else is going on in your life, I think it's worth, you know, letting you know that from the perspective board member, we're concerned about that because it does reflect, at least from our perspective, that maybe you need to make some changes in your life. I'm not convinced that additional CEUs are going to change that life. It sounds like that needs to be more of a personal choice that an education course is not going to fix. And so that's kind of what's leading me to my conclusion. But, you know, I do share the concern, and I think, you know, if what you're saying is that you are too swamped to be spending time doing the things that let you relax and doing the things that let you kind of the center, and that's making it difficult for you to be complying with these kinds of orders, you know, then my hope is that, you know, having this discussion with us here today is going to encourage you to make the changes that you need to make in your life. Not back here. That's my inclination, because my perspective on it is, and again, this is just mine, you know, I think you substantially complied with it, with the agreement. I'm willing to move on, but this is not a conversation that I plan on forgetting about if we see it here again. And so that's kind of my perspective.
Thanks, Josh. So I think at the end of the day, we just need to remember that we're hearing from Mr. Dugan, because Mindy brought it to our attention that he hasn't been compliant with his consent agreement. And so as a board, when we have someone who has a consent agreement and they're not compliant with it, we need to decide what to do. Mr. Harris has told us that one of the options is to open a complaint and dismiss with an advisory letter. We can also open a complaint require him to take the CEUs again with a new consent agreement stating that he has to have CEUs taken that were pre-approved first. So those are sort of, and there may be other options Mr. Harris can tell us, but that's sort of what I've heard in our discussion.
Dr. King, that is correct. If you open up a new complaint, you can offer, if you believe it rises to a discipline, then you can do it in the form of a consent agreement. You also have the option of a non-disciplinary order for continuing education.
Yeah.
Or, you know, as you stated, a non-disciplinary advisory letter.
Okay. I'm going to make a motion, and then we can continue to discuss so that we can continue to move forward, that we open a complaint and offer a non-disciplinary board order for Mr. Dugan to take 3 hours of ethics pre-approved by the board staff prior to taking the course.
Second.
Okay. So that's at least a starting point. So it sounds like that. So is there any other discussion or concerns about that motion? Okay, then let's call the vote.
It's been moved and seconded to open a complaint and issue a non-disciplinary order for 3 hours of ethics to be pre-approved. They may be completed online, and they do not count towards renewal requirements. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
No.
Mr. Barton?
No.
That motion passes.
Thank you.
Can I just ask a clarifying question when I open the complaint? I just want to make sure that I'm going to cite 32-2044, number one, violating this chapter, board rules, or written board order. That would be the notice of complaint. Is that correct?
My understanding from the motion is that, yes, we're going to open up a complaint, but it's going to be resolved with the non-disciplinary order for continuing education.
But I would still need to cite a violation.
To open up a complaint?
Yes.
Well, that would be the one then, Mindy.
That would be the one. Okay, I just want to confirm that because I'll need to serve Mr. Dugan a notice of complaint. Don't I? Or we could talk offline.
Yeah, let's talk about next steps.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Dugan. I wish you all the best.
Can I ask one question?
Sure.
Who should I email for a request of approval for whenever I find the course?
It's Ms. Chepkis.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Yep, you just send her the course information, all the everything you can find. She'll take a look at it and get back to you.
Thank you.
And then take it. Okay. Thanks, Mr. Dugan.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, next on the agenda, 2257, David Curtis, PT. Dr. Curtis, are you on the call?
He had previously mentioned that he was struggling with, I don't know if his... computers that he's on, I don't know if it has a microphone.
That's right.
He had considered attempting to call in.
Yeah.
Dr. Curtis, if you can still hear us, if you wanted to call in.
Let me just message him really quick and see.
They're trying to connect to the call.
Okay.
Can you hear us?
Yes.
We are. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'm giving you to Mr. Curtis. Just a moment.
Hello, this is Dave.
Hi, Mr. Curtis. This is Kelly Kane, Board President. Thanks for being on the call with us.
Thank you.
At this time, we're going to have Mindy give us, or is it you, Judy?
This one's me again.
You to give us a little summary of why you're on our agenda today, and then we'll chat with you.
Okay.
On January 24th, 2023, the board voted to offer Mr. Curtis a consent agreement and order of probation for case 2257. Mr. Curtis's consent agreement was executed April 7th, 2023, and the terms require pre-approval of the ordered continuing education. On May 8th, Mr. Curtis submitted a completion certificate for his board-ordered ethics continuing education. Upon review of his file, it was discovered that Mr. Curtis did not submit the course and he completed for pre-approval. And at its May 23rd, 2023 meeting, the board instructed staff to present such matters to the board for review at a regularly scheduled board meeting. On May 30th, 2023, Mr. Curtis was informed via email that since his continuing education was not pre-approved, the matter would be presented to the board for approval or for review. The matter is before you to review and determine whether Mr. Curtis's completed continuing education course should be ratified. His compliance with his terms of his consent agreement are provided for you. There are still a couple items on his consent agreement outstanding. and his agreement expiration date is July 7th, 2023.
Thank you. Mr. Curtis, can you help the board understand if there was a reason that you didn't submit the course, the ethics course, for approval prior to taking the course?
I guess when I saw that it was approved by the state of Arizona and it was an intermediate course and I looked at other ones and I didn't see anything that was better than this course that I took. You had basically 40 pages audio thing that was presented and intermediate was the type of class that it was proposed as. Components in ethics and healthcare, and I thought it listed a lot of stuff, and instructional level was mentioned that it was intermediate, and the course was 3 hours in length, and it did have the state's approval, so I guess I screwed up. But other than that, the person has written a lot of books and a lot of stuff on the author anyway, and did have testing. It have, like I said, about 50 pages and an audio type instruction.
Okay, thank you. So what I'm hearing you say is that you assumed that since the board, the course was approved by the Arizona PT Association, you assumed it was an approved course.
Yes, I did. And I guess I anyway, like I said, I thought that would be suffice in that. And that's what I had here. And like I said, I did send in the actual who did it, the course out objectives, and it was for 3 hours in the target audience, which was definitely a physical therapist and other therapists that would eventually benefit. Thought it was very good.
Thank you. Good. Okay.
And okay in this course.
Dr. King, it should be noted that it was an incredible coincidence. The course that was completed by Mr. Curtis is the exact same course that was completed by Mr. Dugan.
Mm-hmm. Judy, can you? It doesn't matter. I think so, Mr. Curtis. The reason that we're here is just that part of the consent agreement stated that you had to have the course approved by the board. I can see, looking at their small print, why that would be confusing. But I think the verbiage says it needs to be submitted to the board for approval. Prior to taking it. Is that what it says? I don't have it in front of me. Maybe I do. And so because that didn't happen, unfortunately, now we are in a place where, it appears as though you're not compliant with your consent agreement.
Well, I was trying to, I guess, as there was only a certain amount of 90 days of probation in that, you were going to meet at the end of the month, that I wanted to make sure that I got last done, I guess, in time that you could at least see it and get this mm-hmm. probationary out of the way, and that took it in good faith on this. And I erred on that part. I mean, there is exceptions that can be made, and I'm hoping that you guys will do that.
Yeah. I found the verbiage. It does say that the respondent, which is you, shall obtain pre-approval for the continuing education from the board's executive director, which is Judy Chepius.
Uh-huh.
So, okay. board members, do you have any questions for Mr. Curtis?
I don't have any.
Okay. I am committed to considering cases by case by case, but I'm also very, very much committed to consistency. And so I'm going to make a motion that we open a complaint and that the complaint is satisfied by a non-disciplinary board order for Mr. Curtis to take 3 hours of ethics, to submit that course to the board executive director for pre-approval prior to taking it. It can be done online and 6 months to complete it.
Second.
Okay.
And
discussion? Yes, Mr. Curtis.
Yes, I was just, I mean, do I have to get the okay from somebody? See, I was in the exception that that you had to be the board had to approve it. And then I never know when the board was meeting, and I found out there was a meeting at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, well, I better get this better than,
Yep, I hear what you're saying. It does say in your consent agreement to communicate with the executive director, which is Judy Chepius. So for this next course you take, when you find a course that's in ethics, please submit the course name and information to Judy. She'll go through and pre-approve it.
Class that maybe you've approved in the past that I could take and just go ahead and get that once I get the okay from you, that's, you know, that certain board of that class would be what you'd like me to do?
I mean, it could theoretically be the same course you've already taken. It just needs to go to Judy for approval. You just need to have her stamp of approval on it before you take it, and then you're in compliance with your consent agreement.
So I could actually use the course that I just used then, just to contact her again?
You'd have to retake it. Mm-hmm.
I'll retake the class again?
If that's the one you choose to submit for approval.
Can I ask a quick
question as I'm thinking about this? I think Ms. Chepia said that Mr. Curtis's board order doesn't expire until July 7th?
July 7th, yeah.
If you got approval and took the course before that deadline, would we need to pursue opening a complaint? I'm only asking because I'm the one that's going to be notifying him and opening the complaint.
Right. I think from what I understood from Mr. Harris, and please correct me if I'm wrong, anytime we are discussing the compliance or non-compliance of a consent agreement, we have to open a complaint if they're not compliant with the agreement. Is that right?
Well, Dr. King, members of the board, and I appreciate Mindy pointing that out. Technically, the issue is whether or not you will accept the course that he took. It sounds like you're not going to. However, because the consent agreement hasn't expired, right, as Mindy suggested, oh, I see maybe Judy's got a correction for me.
We have the same deadline date was in the previous.
Yeah, it's the same consent agreement date.
Okay.
Case.
That's a very good point. Technically, both individuals could submit a class to Judy for pre-approval and complete it in time, and they would both be in compliance.
Okay, so we'll finish this one. Do we need to go back to the one prior?
Yes.
Okay. So, Mr. Curtis, what Mr. Harris is saying is that if you submit, let's hypothetically say you take this same course again, you submit this course to Judy for approval, she approves it, and you retake it before your consent agreement expires July 7th, then you're not in non-compliance and you're good to go.
Oh, thank you very much.
Does that make sense?
And is he able to request from this board an extension of the timeline if he needs to?
I believe that's Mr. Harris. Is he?
Actually, Dr. King, members of the board, that's for you to determine whether or not there's, you know, good cause to grant him additional time.
We're June 27th, so it gives him a week and a half, basically, to get it to Judy and get it taken again.
Was this an online course, or was it
online? It's online.
I don't see any reason why you couldn't take it in time.
I agree. I think we stick with the original deadline. And Judy, you're not going on vacation tomorrow, are you? Okay.
No.
Okay.
I wish, but no.
So there's time for Mr. Curtis to get it to you to review it and approve it, because it's going to be on your docket to approve, timeline-wise, get it back to him so he can take it.
there is time, I would suggest that the information be sent to me via email versus mail. It's unlikely that I would receive mail to the state in that time frame. One of the other things that the board has mentioned retaking this course, it's my understanding that this course has now expired and is no longer available. So I just wanted to make certain that he was aware of that if he was looking for this.
So he needs to find another ethics course.
Most likely. Okay. I don't know if they have repackaged this course or what they've done with it, but it's my understanding that the same exact course has been discontinued. Okay.
I guess I have good luck, huh?
Okay, so we have, so then Mr. Harris, do we need to, we don't have a, there's no point to opening a complaint then, so we should withdraw that motion in that second.
Yeah.
Okay, so I withdraw the motion.
I had a question, if I could. There was an authorization to test the ATT eligibility period that, some stuff with the law class, I guess, that when the deadline here, it states the eligibility period is at 8/27/23. What is the deadline then? Is that something different? Arizona law course that I'm trying to.
The deadline, Mr. Curtis, that they're talking about is the deadline for your consent agreement. So the AZ Law jurisprudence exam is an exam typically taken by applicants. And they do have, once they receive their authorization to test letter, a 60-day window within which to test. Because you are taking a test, that's a 60-day window to take the test. However, extending it beyond your current expiration date would put you out of compliance with your consent agreement.
So I'm not familiar with on this. It can usually, we put the money up and everything else, and then we're just trying to find a place where we can take it and when I can take it. So is it usually you can take it right away or?
Your eligibility was granted to you, if a memory serves. You registered for the exam. Your eligibility was granted yesterday. The Federation will send you, and I sent explicit instructions via email to you. The Federation will send you an authorization to test letter. Typically, that's a 2 business day turnaround. Within 2 business days, you will receive that authorization to test letter. You may have already received it. I don't know.
We received authorization.
That letter contains the information that you will need to schedule that AZ Law exam at a Prometric testing center. And again, your deadline on your consent agreement is July 7th.
So what if I can't take it during that period of time? They won't allow me or whatever?
AZ Law is available 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is? And I could go and take it in the Prescott area. I don't have to go to Phoenix or anything like that then.
You'll have to find a Prometric center, sir. They're available nationwide, but where exactly they are, I don't know.
Okay. All right. Because I just seen this. It said eligibility to 8/27. I guess that's the 60 days you're talking to once you apply for it. So I need to take it before basically July 7th then.
Yes, you need to take it and pass it within the terms of all of your compliance items for your consent agreement must be taken by the deadline, must be completed by the deadline.
Okay. All right.
As I understand it, we have the motion withdrawn. Mr. Leone, did you withdraw your second?
Yes, I'll withdraw my second.
Thank you.
Okay, so then we don't have any action to take at this point. Okay. Okay. All right, so Mr. Curtis, the board staff will be in touch with you, but start looking for an ethics course. Send it to Judy as soon as possible.
Okay.
So that she can get it back to you as soon as possible. Please send it email. If you mail it to her, she won't get it in time and you will not be in compliance. So please send an email to her. She can and then get your course completed before your consent agreement expires July 6th.
Okay. I just want to clarify for Mr. Curtis, according to the the information that we got from Mindy, I mean, there's still three outstanding items. Your exam, your course, and then the notification of patients and employer and all that. So you have a week to get that done.
Okay, yeah, I've got all the compliance with the, or letters to the, I guess if you could see it, I'd show it here to you, but the list of all the people for insurances and also for patients and that have been sent off insurance and that have all been notified.
Okay.
So back to getting some of them, it seems like they, once it was notified that we were on probation, they said no longer let us be active on like TRICARE and that, took us off, and then, you know, and then so then, you know, people are, even before it happened, they take us off and said, well, if you're on probation, we can't have you practicing. And so I thought that was kind of a double sword there on that edge on that, but so
on. Okay.
Okay. All right, Mr. Curtis, thanks for being on the call. Best of luck getting all of your tasks completed.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Board, let's go back then to 2318, Jonathan Dugan, PT. Sounds like we're the same situation, that he's actually not out of compliance quite yet because his board order consent agreement doesn't expire. He was asking that we
Are you finished with me?
Uh-huh. Yep. Thanks, Mr. Curtis.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Accept the CEU that he took, and we didn't. So do we need to do anything extra, Mark, or not?
I think, Dr. King, members of the board, what you may want to consider is rescinding your prior motion to open up a new complaint and dismiss it with the non-disciplinary, and then direct staff to reach out to Mr. Dugan to let him know that he still does have about 10 days left on the consent agreement, or the order rather, to comply.
Okay.
And give him that same opportunity.
Okay. So I make a motion to remove the motion, the complaint that we had opened regarding being out of compliance for consent agreement for Jonathan Dugan, and ask that the board staff contact him to let him know he still has 10 days in which to submit an ethics course to be approved and take an ethics course prior to his consent agreement expiring. I just need a second.
Second.
Thank you. Judy, Mindy, does that make sense? That was a good question, Mindy. Thank you. And this is one we haven't seen yet, so I appreciate it.
I appreciate the board's review.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Agreed.
Okay, we just need to vote on that, and then Mr. Dugan will be relieved, I'm sure. But we need to take a vote.
It has been moved and seconded to rescind the board's prior motion in case 2318 for Jonathan Dugan, and to direct board staff to contact Mr. Dugan and explain his opportunity while still within the time frame of his existing consent agreement to submit a course for review and approval and to retake it.
Yep.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hayek?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
He's not here today.
Oh, you're right. Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Okay.
That motion passes.
All right. Good deal. Okay. We are going to move. Is everybody doing okay? Does anybody need a break?
We do need to stop and restart the recording, please.
Okay. Stop and restart. Take a drink. And we'll move into the next item on our agenda.
The recording is going to stop at 12:53 p.m. Mm-hmm.